Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, online fitness coach, nutritionist, and three-time best-selling author, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests in all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is a part two of a two-part series with Sean Casey. In today's podcast, we talk about growing social media so that it allows you to turn your passion into your full-time income. This episode is one that if you are interested in growing social media or building your business or potentially having a side hustle where you can earn either a full-time or even a part-time revenue by doing something you love, then this is the episode for you. In last week's episode, if you're subscribed or following the podcast, we kept it very nutrition and fitness-based. So losing belly fat, the difference between losing body fat and burning fat, and all the misconceptions that people have with weight loss or fat loss. We go in a very different direction in this podcast. We talk about how he used his social media to start and build four businesses, how to grow your social media channels the right way, how to turn followers into a viable business, how to get started and go from zero to one, the biggest mistakes people make with social media, whether you should start a business and then do social media or the other way around, and finding your motivation to creating content online. So very topical for anyone interested in health, fitness, and nutrition. If you just want an inside look on how someone that has built up a following of over 2.2 million on TikTok and over 300,000 on Instagram, how they did it, this is an episode for you. So enjoy. It's very different. Well, I won't say very different. It's quite different to some of the other podcasts we've covered. But based on Sean's expertise, I did want to break this into two parts for those who would find this as interesting as I did. Again, this was an episode that I loved personally. So without further ado, here is part two of two with Sean Casey on growing social media that allows you to turn your passion into full-time income. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. Well, I am delighted to do a part two of a podcast with somebody who is so knowledgeable on so many different topics. We had to break it up into two parts. The first episode, we talked about losing belly fat, the worst diet advice that you'll see on the internet or in books, how to lose weight, how to lose body fat when it comes to burning fat versus losing fat, everything within that realm. This part two, we are going to focus on growing social media and how to potentially use that to turn your passion into full-time income. Sean, welcome back to part two.
It's good to be back, Brian. You've hyped me up a lot here, but no, as I said at the start of part one, everything that I do stems from a problem that I once had and helping other people solve that problem. And see, at the minute, I want people to get excited for this episode. I want people to have a note. I can't even talk. I'm excited for it myself. I want people to be taking notes because in the past 2 years, 2 years ago, I didn't even have a business. I didn't even understand the possibilities from social media. I was posting TikToks, and fast forward 2 years, I've got over 2.2 million followers on TikTok, 300,000 on Instagram. But followers don't really mean anything without anything else. But I've also been able to launch four successful businesses. I wake up every day and do something that I love. This doesn't even feel like work to me. Nothing that I do feels like work. I do stuff that I would do for free anyway. So I want people to get excited, no matter if you're into fitness or even if you're just stumbled across this podcast. There's so much possibility on social media to turn something that is a hobby or something that you just enjoy talking about, to turn that into your full-time job, to get up every day and literally work for yourself. So social media has changed my life in the past 2 years. I'm extremely passionate about talking about it, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Talk to us about that, because one of your recent TikToks explained the unbelievable opportunity that we have in 2022, 2023 for people listening to this in the back catalog, compared to, you know, 20 years ago when it would take 5 or 10 years to do what you could now do in potentially 6 months with social media. Talk to us about that, and talk to us about your story. I know it as someone that's been following it since day one, effectively very early on, but talk to us about the story, where you came from, and we know where we are now in terms of the 2.2 million followers on TikTok, launching multiple businesses, the Instagram following. But talk to us about what you've done over the last couple of years to make that happen.
Yeah, so like fitness, like fat loss, I'm obsessed with knowing why things work. So I don't just want to lose fat. I want to know the principles behind it. It's the same with social media. I started posting on social media, started posting on TikTok, and then I got a few viral videos. And I didn't even, at the start, I was just going to do YouTube. I wanted to get 1,000 subscribers on YouTube and turn 30 of them into paying clients. I was making 20 or 30 grand a year. That was me sorted. If I'd done that after 2 years, I would be happy. If you told me I could have the businesses and the success I have now after 15 years, I was all like, I'll take 15 years at 35. I'll take that. Absolutely no issue at all. But the thing with social media now is things, you can reach a larger audience a lot quicker, and things can just, as a result of that, business can take off a lot quicker. So I started posting on TikToks. I didn't even know what TikTok was, but I noticed that if I was posting on YouTube, I was getting a few hundred views, but on TikTok, I could be getting a few thousand, even though I only had about 10 followers. So what people need to understand now, the reason why you can grow so quickly, and it is, it's something that sounds too good to be true. Like, you hear these people get rich quick and do this, it's all going to happen overnight, and it sounds blasé and it sounds stupid, but the reality is, if you already have value in your content, you can reach a lot of people quicker now. Because the way social media has traditionally worked is you're posting content and it's going to people that follow you already. It's going to your friends, family, etc. The only way that you get to new people is if others are sharing your content. So if they were sharing your Instagram posting, things like that. So that used to be the way to grow on Instagram. You needed to get people to share. But now, see, with Reels and with TikTok started this, where the main focus of your content is, it's not going to your followers. Your followers aren't even really your focus. It's every time you post a video, you have the opportunity to reach a new audience, and it does get tested. Every single video that you post gets tested with a new audience that don't follow you. So for that reason, it's so, like, the opportunity for growth is absolutely extortionate. Like, every time you're posting a video, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. If you have loads of followers and you post a video that's not engaging, it's not, I have 2.2 million followers. If my video isn't good, it's only going to get shown to a few thousand people, whereas you could have 10 followers, but if the video is good, it'll get shown to millions of people. So that's what's so exciting about this. TikTok cracked the code there, and the reason that everyone started moving over to TikTok because of how good it was, and these other socials were all like, oh, whoa, we don't want people going away. So now Instagram brought in Reels, YouTube brought in Shorts, Facebook have Reels too. So everyone's basically replicating what TikTok have, and that's exciting too in its own way, because then you can make content for all your social media platforms with only one video. You can recycle that to all of them. So the opportunity for growth at the minute, just because of the way the algorithms work, and every time you post, you're getting shown to new people, it's absolutely crazy.
Sean, how did you go from building followers to building businesses? And I asked this question to somebody that actually was in the reverse. I built a business first, and then in 2014, 2015, started building social media to help build that business. So I actually did it nearly in a reverse order. It sounds like, from what you're saying, you had a goal similar to me. You had your business and you wanted the YouTube to grow so you could get the X amount of clients. But you've now converted a lot of those people into paying customers through the course, through the program, through the academy, etc. How did you do that? Because there's people listening to this podcast who automatically, in their brain, for some reason, and I suppose it's obvious in terms of followers because it's the vanity metric, they think, well, I'll make money if I have followers. That's not necessarily true. And I'm probably more privy than most. Then I will talk to people on the podcast who are making multiple six figures, multiple seven figures, and they have 1,000 followers on Instagram. And I'll talk to somebody who has 2.5 million followers on Instagram and they're struggling to make ends meet. Talk to us about how you made that followers into an actual business and how you leveraged it, because again, I have my own guesses on what you did based on my knowledge on social media, providing a lot of value, making sure it's niche, speaking to an avatar, etc. But talk to us about what you did and how you did it.
Yeah, I think firstly, the most important thing for people to realize, if you're listening to this podcast, you're looking at me, I've got all these followers, I've got four different businesses. You can't get into social media because you want what I have. You want all these businesses. You want all these income streams, because you need to get into it because you have value to provide to people. So I spent the first 6 months just providing value, helping people for free, expecting nothing in return, because even though I've got all these successful businesses and making this money now, it was never my goal to be making X amount of money. My goal was to provide as much value as possible for free to people. So that's what I done. I just posted free content every single day. And when you post enough free content, people begin to know you, they begin to trust you. And then from there, you can look at, depending on what industry you're in, you're like, right, how can I monetize this? Because it makes no sense if you're posting free content every day not to give your following a better, like something that's more interactive with you, one-on-one access to you for a cost. So, but the main thing, as I said, is you need to have value. If you don't have value, you're not going to go on the socials and start making loads of money. And again, if you're just growing your following for the sake of growing your following, doing stupid viral videos, it's not going to grow your businesses. Like a lot of the time, this happens with males and females, extremely good looking people, really nice bodies, but people are following them because they like the look of them. So when they have a few hundred thousand followers, but then when they launch their coaching, no one's signing up because there's lots of people that are on their page, but they're not there for the right reasons. So see, when you're posting content and you're providing value to people, you need to always be like, is this aligned with what I want to do as a business? So what I wanted to do is, originally I just wanted to be a PT. I wanted to help people lose fat. So every bit of content I put out was directed at one specific person. So the one specific person I wanted to help people, someone with, to lose fat in a healthy and sustainable way. So every video, every bit of content was just aimed at helping that one person. And then from there, I grew a following. And then I done my PT qualification and I was able to start coaching people. I built the gym in my garage, was doing the in-person coaching, took on people online at the same time. But the PT business, the PT business is extremely, it's extremely simple, it's extremely straightforward, and it's probably the easiest business, even though it's still a grind, it's the easiest route to six figures, in my opinion. It's a bit of a hack because you provide value, you get online clients. Once you have your online clients, you start cheap. I started doing it for free, doesn't really work, in my opinion. I done it for free, especially with online coaching. People just, if they're not paying for something, they didn't really value it that well. I maybe took on 20 people for free and only one person actually stuck it out. But I did start off, I was only charging about £10 a week, and I just wanted to build up my results and build up my base. And then every time you get fully booked and you have your clients, then you can gradually nudge your price. Now, I'm not into this whole, there seems to be a push towards new personal trainers going extremely high ticket straight away. I'm like, if you're a new personal trainer, you're not going to be charging like a grand straight off the bat. But I built my prices up slowly. I built clients, I built trust with them, I provided a really good service. So as well as focusing on building good content, I provided a good service. Now, people often talk about, as you said, a following doesn't mean you're automatically making money. People have loads of a big following, they make no money, but a following does present more opportunity for more lucrative business ventures. So for me, I started with the one-to-one coaching. It very quickly became fully booked. Like I had a one-to-one coaching application in my bio and it had like over 1,000 applicants. So I was like, I can't work with all these people. So instead of doing one-to-one coaching, or as well as, I also launched my own academy, which is one-to-one coaching, all the benefits, all the most commonly asked questions put into like a video course, a weekly Zoom call, a Facebook group. So it actually has more benefits as opposed to just the one-to-one. So I put that all into one place and then launched the academy. It was a success. I was posting a lot of recipes. So I was all like, how can I monetize my recipes? Obviously off a recipe book. So originally, when I done the first recipe book, I was all like, I'm just going to make a recipe book. It'll be a nice bit of income when I launch it, and then people will probably forget about it. And then next thing you know, since I was posting so many recipes, I had that linked in my profile. It became my main source of income. And it's completely, people always talk about, oh, you need passive income. And oftentimes, there's no such thing as passive income. You have to put in some sort of work. But see the recipe book, I put in the work, and now I'm doing content that I would have been doing anyway, and it's generating me money literally while I sleep. And as I said, for me, it wasn't all about the money. It was about providing value. But then from providing value and building following and trust, I had these different business opportunities and ways to monetize in an ethical way. Like everything that I do is by my morals and my ethics. I don't do anything that I feel like, oh, that's a bit ropey, or, oh, no, you're taking advantage. The one-on-one coaching, obviously you're working with me directly. The academy, I fucking love it. I genuinely love it. I would do it for free. The Zoom calls make me happy every week. It's not something like, oh, Zoom call this week. It's like, I'm buzzing to get on a Zoom call and help people solve these problems. The recipe book, people message me on a daily basis being like, I bought your recipe books, I'm down X amount of weight, I actually enjoy my diet. So it's all stem from helping people solve problems for free. And then once you build this base of providing value, people trust you, and then they're happy enough to pay you for your recipe book. They're happy enough to join your academy. And then from there, I started helping people do all this stuff with fitness related. And then I started helping personal trainers grow their social media and prove that I can do that. Worked with people one-on-one there. And then after I proved that I can do that on a one-to-one basis, I was all like, I'm telling them all the same thing. I can put this in a course. I firmly believe that the Social Circle is the best social media growth course in the world. I've been, that's a big statement, but I've been up and running 4 months. I've took people from zero to 250,000. Mm-hmm. Took people from 600,000 to 1 million after they've been stalled out. Loads of people to 100,000, so many people to 10K, helping people grow their businesses. And it's results every single week. There's results. And I'm so excited for the possibilities because, as I said, with the academy and stuff like that, I'm helping people with fitness, but I don't like keeping knowledge to myself. So all this stuff that I learned about social media, I was all like, I'm going to put this in a course. I'll see how it goes. And the results have been absolutely incredible. I usually say to people, look, you're going to need at least 6-7 months of consistency, and then eventually you might take off. In 4 months, the results that people are getting are incredible. So often, like, this is something that I heard time and time again by listening to the leaders in the fitness industry, even the likes of you, Jordan Syatt, James Smith. They're all like, I had to grind for X amount of years, and for 10 years I had to put in solid grind, and then eventually you might build it, you might start making a bit of money, you might start building a business. And that should still be the case, but the fact of the matter is, if you have the education, if you have the knowledge, all this stuff that used to take 10 years can simply happen a lot faster. So while it's not a hack, I'm not guaranteeing, oh, you join the Social Circle and instantly you're going to blow up. You have to have value. You actually have to already be good at what you do. But if you have value, I can help get your message to so many more people at an extremely quick rate. Like one of the guys, Barry's Bod, he'd been posting on Instagram for 4 years, had about 2,000 to 3,000 followers. He joined the Social Circle. After a month or 2 months he's been in now, he's got 250,000 followers. He's literally took off TikTok. But that's because he was very good on camera. He had value, but he just wasn't aware of how to structure his content properly for virality. So I see opportunity and I go for it. I don't overthink it. A lot of people are paralysis by analysis. They're all like, oh, should I do that? Maybe I'm not in a position to do a social media course. I've only been doing this for 2 years, but I'm like, if I know I can help people, I don't care how long I've been doing it. I don't care what other people say. If I know I can help people, and I know once I launch that, the results will speak for themselves. I go and I just work, because oftentimes people think too much. You need to think, and it needs to be a good idea. I'll always gauge interest. I'll make sure, I'll do polls and make sure that it'll actually be a success. But as soon as I have an idea in my head, I'm going for it and I'm getting after it.
I love that. I have a few things to unpack there. I can speak kind of, I won't say firsthand, but definitely secondhand when it comes to the SC Social Circle. Gary, who's my executive assistant, Gaz's Gaelic Guide, has done the course. He comes through it. He's in the Facebook group and he just sings the praises of it daily and has grown his Instagram, has grown his TikTok, serving the GEA community. And he's got a nice little balance on both sides, whereas I help him with his underlying business because he obviously sees the inside of mine, how mine runs. And then he's got you with the social media side and help him grow and provide value on there.
He was singing your praises yesterday on the podcast.
I love Gary though, he's awesome, but he's one of these people that, you know, he works for me now, but it's a matter of time before he goes off and does his own thing. That was like, I always try and bring in A players into my business knowing that at some point they're going to go off on their own, and I'll help and serve them in any way that I can doing that. But there's a few things I want to ask there, and there's so much value in terms of providing that upfront value, a mistake a lot of people make, and also having the right kind of followers. On my other podcast, the Online Business Podcast, I talk about quantity of followers versus quality of followers. It's about having people, if you're running a business and using social media, for me, social media is 100% a business angle from me in terms of trying to provide value, not necessarily a monetary side. When I say business, I also think of my impact and trying to help people, but I don't put a lot of my personal stuff up there. I very rarely, and I haven't put my daughter up there since she was 2. I rarely post up family photos. It's normally health content, fitness content, and then TikTok is my outlet for fucking around and just, you know, making stupid videos, because like I don't have a buyer audience on TikTok. It's just people who are following me because I'm putting up stupid viral videos. And so I use that because it scratches my own itch. I'm past the point of escape velocity where money is an issue in our business. If I'm on social now, it's just more to kind of have fun with it and try and help people depending on the platform. But what are some of the mistakes, or what is probably, if I dial this in very specifically, Sean, what's the biggest mistake you see with people when it comes to trying to build or grow their social media?
The biggest mistake is doing things that worked 5-10 years ago but don't work now. So a lot of people are joining these other social media courses and things like that, and they're being told ways that used to work. So it used to be, if you wanted to grow your social media, you'll post lots of infographics and really shareable content, because if you post loads of that, then it's going to get shared by people. That's how you grow your business. People used to be able to grow hundreds of thousands of followers just by doing tweet posts. But now, if you join one of them courses and do all that, you're going to be putting in lots of work, lots of effort, and getting absolutely nothing in return. The only thing being posted on social media at the minute, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily right. I'm not saying that Instagram should be not pushing photos and only pushing reels. But all I'm saying is this is what's happening. The only thing that's being pushed is short form content, is reels, TikToks, all this stuff. And whether you like that or not, it's you can sit and complain about it and be like, oh, but they should be pushing the longer form content. If you want to do long form content, in my opinion, start a podcast and use your short form content to get people over that. Because I'm not saying that short form content, you can't talk about the nuances. You can't have a good conversation like this. That's why I have my own podcast too. I'm also going to be starting a Social Circle podcast, because there's only so much you can do with short form content. But in terms of, if you're getting into it now and you want to grow on social media, post reels, post short form content, post watchable content that's going to make people stay from the start of the video to the end, because that's how it gets pushed by the algorithm. A lot of people don't know this, but they have theories about the algorithm. Not right. This is how the algorithm works. Every single video that you post now, whether it's a reel or it's a TikTok, it's always getting shown to new people. So let's say you have a video and you post it and it gets shown to 10 new people, right? The only thing that the algorithm really cares about, it doesn't really care about likes, comments, etc. It cares about watch time. Because see, if you think about it, TikTok wants people to watch the videos because it wants them to be addicted. It wants them to stay on the app. So does Instagram. It doesn't care whether you like it and then scroll past instantly. That's no good. It only wants the most watchable content to be pushed out. So let's say you post this video. It gets sent out to 10 people. And The first group is quite easy to break through. Maybe you only need two people within that group to watch 60% of the video. And then it gets sent out to 20 people. And then it gets sent out to 30 to 40. But let's say in that first group, the 10 people, all 10 of them people watched 100% of the video. Instantly it gets sent out to 2,000 people. And then each group has a minimum threshold. This amount of people need to watch this amount percentage of the video. If it passes that threshold, it'll get sent to the next group. However, if it absolutely smashes the threshold, it'll get sent out to a bigger group. So that's why if anyone's ever posted a video, we're like, how is this going viral so quickly? It's getting like tens of thousands of views, and then it just dies instantly like that. The reason that them videos die is because they didn't meet the threshold in that group. And again, they can get retried in the at later dates and a few days later, but you grow as long as you're meeting the thresholds. As soon as your content, and the threshold gets harder every time, that's why it's hard to get a viral video, but as soon as you don't meet the threshold, that's how you die. So instead of focusing on all this stuff that worked 5-10 years ago, post short form content and think about what you're doing to make people stay from the start to the end of the video. Because a lot of the time people just aren't thinking this through. Say for example, they're hooking people in. Here's the biggest mistake that people make when they're trying to do X. And then they talk about the mistake straight away. So instead of like saying, say, here's the biggest mistake that people make when they're trying to grow on social media, they're focusing on the old stuff. Instead of saying that, I would say, this is by far the greatest mistake that people are making when they're trying to grow on social media. This is holding people back. And what people don't understand is times are like, talk around the topic first, but a lot of people are saying the hook and then they're giving the answer to the hook. What people want after you hook them in is the answer. And then they're all like, oh, I knew that, scroll to the next one. So how can you post your short form content, but how can you force people to watch the end of the video? And this isn't some sort of slimy tactic. You want them to watch the end of the video because you want them to get the full value that you're talking about. But that's something that people just aren't thinking about. They're not structuring their videos in a way that make people actually want to watch them. They're not being like engaging. They're not using different language that's actually fun to watch. So post short form content, but make it watchable. Make people watch to the end of the video.
How do you stay motivated to create so much content, Sean? I'm curious, as somebody that my reason for social media, as I mentioned, is I get a massive amount of my fulfillment working with people directly in my programs. I love working with people and coaching with them. And the only way that I can generally get motivated to create online content is that it works as a feeder for people into a program. And then I get that, it's selfish, but it's selflessly selfish, that amazing feeling when you get somebody to heal their relationship with food, or you transform their body composition with them, you show them that it's empowering them, and I get a massive amount of my own personal fulfillment from that. It's why I think I'll always have some element of coaching for as long as I'm running a business, because of that feeling that it gives me. But I have to anchor the reason for creating social media content off that. Otherwise, I think I tend to press the fuck it button and go, well, fuck it, I don't care. I don't, because I'm not a consumer of social media. I'm a very poor consumer of it. I don't really like it. If I didn't have a business, I wouldn't be on it. I would have a podcast because I love the podcast, but I actually wouldn't be on social media at all. So I have to anchor it that way to motivate myself. What motivates you to create so much great content online?
I love making content. It was harder for me not to make content than to make it. And the thing that I love about it most is just this fact that every video that you're putting out is getting shown to someone new. So I know that if I make a video to do with fitness or something, it's getting shown to a new audience straight away. Almost every day I have people in my inboxes, haven't signed up to my coaching, haven't bought anything off me. You've changed my life. You've done this, you've done that. And that makes me extremely happy when I see I can impact all these people, and I have the ability just by making content to help thousands, millions of people. And that's something that brings me great fulfillment. As well as that, I feel like people often beat around the bush and lie about this sort of things, but you get a dopamine supercharge when you make a really good bit of content and it does well. And instead of me saying like, oh, it's like obviously I want to help people, but it's also because it makes me feel good when I put effort into content and it does well. I'm getting immediate feedback on that. And you need to disassociate from that. You can't be like, oh, it's just about likes, it's just about followers. Like, see, chasing following too. You can't want, so we need to break this subject down as well. I love growing my social media. I love helping people grow, but I'm not like, I'm at 300,000 now. I'll be happy when I get to 500,000. I would rather have 1,000 followers and be moving in the right direction than have 500,000 and just be staying still, because it's my business now to grow on social media. So instead of being like, oh, don't chase followers, don't put your happiness off until you get to a following. But I love the feeling of growing. I love the video, the feeling of studying the algorithm and then learning why these different things work, and then putting that all the tactics into a video, spending ages on a video, ages, and then posting it. And as soon as I post it, seeing the comments flood through, oh, this was a great video, this was it. I love that feeling. And I think people often lie about the reasons why they post on social media. You can't, as I said, put off your happiness till you reach a certain following or getting a certain amount of likes. But it would be wrong to say that I don't love the feeling of posting on social media. Something that I study every single day and putting all these tactics, like I'm quite nerdy about it. I want to know why it works. So I was like, if I do all them things, that's destined to go viral, or that's destined to reach X amount of people. And that's something that excites me. It's really exciting. And there's people that go out every weekend and they get excited to drink and take drugs and stuff like that. I get excited to make a really good bit of social media content and put it all together and edit it. And it's the funnest part for me is when I've done the voiceover and when I've done the talking, I've done the hard part. And then a lot of people don't like editing, but I'm like, I've done all the talking. I'm lying in my bed at the minute and I'm editing this video and I'm cropping it so it sounds good and I'm adding the subtitles. The full process for me, and maybe it's the same with a lot of people, are just fortunate that they happen to be certain ways. I just happen to be someone that loves the creative side of it, that loves looking into things. And I genuinely love everything about the process of creating social media content, helping people, but also studying the algorithm and applying all these tactics and then seeing it unfold right in front of your eyes. And people are probably listening to this like, this fella is a fucking hater, but it's true. And you have to be like, if you want to be successful in anything, you have to have a certain thing that other people don't see. Some people is like, why has he spent 4 hours making a 60 second video, and why is he getting excited that he's seeing all this engagement flood in from it? But it's because this is what I love. I love doing it. I love figuring out why things work, and it makes me excited every day to wake up and post this content, to help people, to see these things that I'm literally teaching other people to do, to apply them to my content, see them work, and then go onto the Social Circle Facebook group and be like, oh, by the way, I've started doing this with my videos, and then post that video, and then 2 days later I took Sean's advice, this happened, I've got this many new clients, this many new followers. It just, the full process just really intrigues me, and there's so many different layers to it about working out why things work, how things work, and the full, like, I'm just addicted to it, really. I truly am.
A great question that reminded me of is something that I've put to people in the podcast in the past is, what's something that you find easy that other people find difficult? And there's a superpower within that. And when I think of, you know, fitness, that's something that's always came very easy to me, lifting weights, gym, sport. So from the outside looking in, you can see someone in really good shape, but that's something that's just automatic for me. I don't even think about it. I go to the gym 4 to 5 times a week. I play sport. I do all my runs. There's something that I find quite easy. It's something I enjoy. And I think I would put my podcast into that bracket as well. It's when people look at, you know, 400 plus episodes, and I've been regularly asked, how do you do 400 episodes? I always tell them the same answer. It's like, I didn't do 400 episodes. I did one episode 400 times. It's you're doing it week on week as you go. You're breaking it down. And I think asking that question, whether it's creating videos, editing videos, talking to people in conversations like me or some other area of your life that you find easier, you get excited about it, that other people look at it and go, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I think there's a superpower there, regardless of what it looks like. And then on the other end of it, just to kind of give a counterbalance to that, I don't enjoy the editing of videos. I fucking hate it. Like, that's in my drudgery zone. Like, I have my desire zone and drudgery zone. Something I talk about in courses and in business seminars. It's in my drudgery zone. I hate it. Like, literally, if you were giving me my version of what hell looks like, it's sitting editing a fucking video for the day. So I can't do that. But whereas I could have, you know, 5 podcast recordings and conversations in a day. You know, I've got 4 today. We've got, technically we're doing our 2 parts today, so it'll be 5. Yeah. But I could do that all day, most days, because I love it. So you're looking for where what I'm doing falls into that desire zone versus the drudgery zone. I'm curious, Sean, what are some of the tools or tactics or resources you use to educate yourself? You mentioned that you geek out on it. Is it podcasts? Is it books? Is it blogs online? Where do you consume information to help educate you on social media, on the algorithms, etc.? I have a few of my ones that I listen to as well, and I'm really looking forward, if you go down the social circle podcast route, I'll be a subscriber there 100%. You have me straight away. But what do you consume?
So in terms of, firstly talking about not social media, but business standpoint, I used to consume, obviously, your business podcast. I used to listen to that and some other people. Jordan Saad had a really good podcast, How to Be a Personal Trainer. Took a lot from that. From myself, I always think it's good to hire someone that wants to be, that's in a position that you want to be in. So I hired my coach, Tony McAlevey, and he'll help me with not only, he online coached me, helped me see his ideologies and things like that, but also helped me massively with business. However, when it comes to social media, this has all changed so rapidly. And what I found was I was consuming a lot of social media content, and I found that I was disagreeing with the person that was talking about their methods of growth and this and that. And I was like, surely all these people are saying something different, and it's because there's refined systems to help grow your business. There's refined systems to help you get in shape. But since the social media algorithm has changed so rapidly, there's no rules with it. It's people are making up their own methods, and a lot of it is their own opinion. So I will listen to these different people. I would listen to a bit of Gary Vee and this person and that person. But I found I'm learning by posting myself, and I've developed this. One of the main things you'll hear me often talk about is the blueprint. So the blueprint is basically the way I structure my videos for virality. This is something that you put this at the start. This is how you keep attention in the middle. You want to be playing that in the background, have this going on at the screen at the same time, have this at the end. So I developed this blueprint, and that's something that I done through trial and error. So while a lot of people were consuming content and getting mixed messages from different people about what they should be doing on social media, I was going through trial and error and seeing what actually works for me. And then I was developing this blueprint and using it myself. And then I started one-to-one coaching and using it in other people and being like, right, they're doing the same thing as me. So this is working. This blueprint is working. And then here's how we change depending on the person, this and that. So it's a case of, I post on social media every single day, and I study every single video. I look at all the analytics. So there has to be, like, all these people with information that it has to start somewhere. They have to get it from somewhere. So sometimes there's topics where you're not actually getting it from. There's no books written on the TikTok algorithm and things like that. There's no podcasts that are up to date and all the information. Sometimes the information just comes from you yourself, and that's a massive case for me. Is that's what excites me about the social circle. That's why people are getting so good results, because it's not the same generic stuff that you see in all these other courses. A lot of the time when people are talking about social media, they're saying, oh, I've tried all the courses, I've done this and done that. But when people join my course, they're like, this feels so different. Mm. It feels so different because not only is it really good in terms of information, but the way in which you're talking, you can tell that you actually care about it. Whereas oftentimes when you join someone's social media course, they don't actually care that much about social media. Like, hopefully people can gauge by the way I'm talking, is this is something that I'm extremely passionate about. So I've came up with my own ideologies. And not only have I done them on myself, but I've done them on other people on a one-to-one basis. Go onto the Social Circle Instagram page and look at the results. It's only been out 4 months. And that's why I said it's the number one in the world, because I asked people on my story, I was like, if you know any other social media course that is producing this amount of results, and bear in mind, there's social media courses that have thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in them, but I only have 250 people in the Social Circle at the minute. So if you look at it, the percent of the people that are playing that consistently, that are getting results, it's massive. I don't believe that anyone has the information that I'm providing in the course. So while I have took bits and pieces, mostly to do with business, in terms of social media and my ideology, as I said at the start, I found myself consuming people's content, but then being like, that's wrong, that's not actually the best way to do things. And I was all like, why don't I just do that myself? So that's what I've done with the course. And then that's what I'll hope to do with the podcast as well. Give people them good information. And then what you'll find is I'm going to be able to get a new guest on every week that has over 100,000 followers. And all of them are going to come from within the social circle to talk about their experience. So I don't know anyone else that can do that in the social media space.
I love that. And it becomes its own kind of self-fulfilling lead generation when you're talking to people who you've already worked with, and it brings in new people. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great business model. So again, testament to that side. I'm curious, and this is a very opinionated chicken or egg answer. Would you recommend people build their social media and then grow a business on top of it, or have their business or side hustle idea first get to 0 to 1 with that and then grow social media? I kind of, based on our conversation on the last podcast now, and have a good idea where you're going to go with this, but what would you recommend people do first, business then social media, or social media then grow their business?
I'd say if you have the choice, do social media first. Especially a lot of personal trainers come to me and they're all like, I'm not qualified yet. And I was all like, doesn't mean that you can't post content. Mm-hmm. Just be honest and at your level of knowledge. So I think it's always best if you can post on social media first. But lots of people come to me for coaching and for one-to-one coaching or in the social circle. And one of the boxes that they have to tick is that I already have a successful business, but I'm struggling with social media. So you're at no disadvantage either way. If I was at the very start of my journey, I was all like, it's easier to get the ball rolling. And if you get the ball rolling with your social media, build that trust, you literally have nothing to sell them. So you're not going to be worried about, oh, what if they think I'm trying to sell? You have that 6, 8, 9 months just to build trust and provide free value. However, if you already have a business, you're not at any disadvantage at all. You just get into social media straight away. It doesn't matter that you have the business. But I would say if you had to choose one or the other, ideally you would start with the social media first and business after. But there's no right or wrong answer. You might have just left your job to go full ham on this business. And then instead of saying, I'll focus on business first and then social media, or I'll focus on social and then business, do both at the same time. You can do both at the same time if you plan it properly. But where I come from it, I started on socials first, built that first. I feel like that's always best because you can help, you can build the trust without selling them anything. You're just providing free value, but you're not at any disadvantage no matter. There's a million and one different ways to go into it, and it's not like you have to do it this way. You have to start in socials first, or you have to have a successful business. That's the beauty of it. You can do both at the same time. You can start one or the other. It's just person dependent, and so many people's circumstances are different. I couldn't say to someone, oh, just focus on social media and providing free content, if they want to start a business and start putting food on the table because they've got a family. So I'm 22-year-old, I'm single, I'm still live at home. Obviously, I could do that, but for some other people, they don't have the luxury of doing that. So there's no right or wrong answer.
I couldn't agree more. I think with business and social media, if you have the business first, social media can amplify what's already successful. And if you have the social media first and then build a business, you can literally ask your audience what it is that they want and then potentially provide a product or a service that aligns with that. Where did your ideas come from in terms of what to sell? The recipe book, obviously the Academy, SC Social Circle. Where did your ideas for that come from? Was it based on the feedback of followers already, or was it something that you knew you were going to do on the front end and then it just pivoted into that? I know you were doing one-to-one then online and obviously at the scale, but where did those ideas come from?
A lot of them were just the natural path. So the Academy was a natural path. I'm fully booked here. I may as well start group coaching. The recipe book idea came to me because I was posting so many recipes and people were asking me about it. They're all like, do you have a recipe book? You should do a recipe book. And I was like, maybe I should. And it just started off as a side thing. And now obviously I'm working on my third one now. Like, it started off as I'll just do a recipe book. Sister helped me out with it. So I've actually managed to hire my sister full time, which is absolutely amazing. She is so good. She's on the ball with everything. She helped me with Social Circle, the Academy, the recipe book. So originally it was just me and her. I done the recipes, I done the, like, put it together, and then she's good at art, so she made it look nice. And then that spiraled into like hiring professional photographers and spending like 20 grand on the next recipe book to make it really good and all this here. But in terms of the ideas, they just sort of, they're either asked by followers, like, you should do a recipe book. The Social Circle, I was doing one-to-one coaching, and then one-to-one coaching ended up as one-to-one, and then personal trainers were coming on with me, and then naturally I was helping them grow their social media and grow their business. And then I started specifically taking people on one-to-one to prove that I could do that. And then after I'd done that, I was all like, these are the areas that have, these are the areas that people are struggling with. I'm telling these people all the same thing. So if I can put this into a course, I think it'll do well. But what I'll do straight away, see, as soon as I have an idea for a course, straight on the story, dripping it straight away, doing a poll, gauging interest. Instagram polls are a really good reflection of how many people are going to sign up on a launch. I didn't think this at the start. Recipe book was accurate. Academy was accurate. Social Circle was accurate. So as soon as I had the idea, should I do this course? Put up a poll on Instagram straight away. Might do a social media course. Please only vote in the poll if you're interested, but let me know what box you sit in. Fitness account or non-fitness account. Originally, I was just going to do it for fitness pages, but the fundamentals of social media are the same for everything. And it was sort of actually a 50-50 split. So I was like, right, fine. That's the first decision made. It's not just going to be for fitness pages. It's not going to be like a PT course where I talk more about coaching. It's going to be a general social media thing. And I'm so glad I've done that, because some of the results, like the first person to reach 1 million on the Social Circle isn't even a fitness account. It's a guy, Andrew Munane, that does like mental health. There's a guy that lives in a van full time, Caroline McKenna, who was just on my podcast. She's in the Social Circle. She does travel tips. So all of these non-fitness businesses and accounts are on it too. But what I'll do is I'll get the idea. See, people overthink it. As soon as you have an idea, you should be dripping it in your story. Drip, drip, drip. Oh, I'm thinking about doing this. Put up a poll. Oh, I've started brainstorming. Put up. So 5 months before you've even launched it, before you even know if you're definitely going to launch it, you've already planted the seed in your followers' heads. Oh, he's working on this. A lot of people will just come out of nowhere. Oh, by the way, in 1 week, I'm launching this. There's like, you haven't built interest. You haven't gained it. So before I even know if I'm definitely doing something, I've started dripping it. I've started talking about it in my stories. I've started asking for feedback, doing polls, gauging interest, because you can gauge, well, maybe this isn't a great idea, maybe, but it does no harm to start talking about it on your socials. And everything that I do, my academy launches, recipe book launches, Social Circle launches, I've started talking about it. Maybe in one story per week, about 5 months out, and then two. And then when it's coming up to launch, every single story, every day I have something else. So it's about dripping it far out, planning it, gauging your target audience, seeing if it's actually going to be a success. And then from there, once you know that, right, I've got the interest here, it's just all systems go. And I like to be, see my businesses, I can run them on maintenance. So I can run my businesses on maintenance, working 15, 20 minutes in the morning, 15, 20 minutes at night, one bit of social media content and a Zoom call on Thursdays. All my businesses will maintain, but I always like to be going in the right direction. So at the minute I'm working like 10, 12 hours a day because I am doing a new recipe book. So I'll constantly be working on that, and then I'll work to a Social Circle launch, and then I'll do something else. So all these businesses have just stemmed from ideas, and then I've built them in such a way that they can run themselves, but I'm always focusing on one of them in particular to bring it to the next level. Once I launch a recipe book, I'll be focusing on, I'm turning the Social Circle into subscription, I'll be focusing on that, and then I'll focus on another one. But it stems from ideas, gauging interest, seeing if people are actually going to purchase, and then drip, 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 constantly talk about it. That's the one mistake that people make with launches. Don't talk about it enough, and don't talk about it far out enough to build enough interest, because people haven't decided after the first week, oh, he's talking about that. Oh, he's still talking about it. Oh, fuck, he's bringing us behind the scenes. That actually looks really interesting. I had people by the Social Circle that didn't even do social media. They were like, mate, you have talked about this so much and made me so curious that I'm buying this to see what's on the course. So that's what you want. That should be the aim. You want people so interested and so involved in the process that they have to buy it. So like taking them behind, oh, look at the first photos from the recipe book. Oh, look at the course that I'm doing here. Just working on the PowerPoints. Got this done. bring people throughout the process, drip it constantly in your stories, and that's how you do a successful launch.
I love that. That's such great advice, and it proves the concept as you go along. I think a mistake a lot of businesses make is that field of dreams model, where if I build it, they'll come. I'm like, they might not fucking come. Like, if you at least drip it on social media, you can kind of get a feed. Like, I wrote my entire first book, The Fitness Mindset, based on my social media. It was Facebook at the time, putting out sections of what eventually went into the book, because things that got the most likes, shares at the time, which was working for the algorithm, I rewrote it and put it back into the book. So I use that. So depending on writing a book, launching a course, a program, it works across the board. There's a few things that I want to just unpack on that, and we'll wrap it up then, because there's so much value here that we've covered.
I could go all day, Brian. I know.
You're exceptionally passionate on this topic, which I love. And again, it comes through that you love what you're doing. I'm curious, based on everything that you know now, Sean, because you've obviously not only transformed your own personal life by helping so many people online and building your business, you're now giving that tool to other people to go and transform their lives and turn their passion into full-time income. But with everything that you've learned over the last couple of years, and I know you're 22, you said, like, it shows that biological age doesn't matter. Like, you're one of the smartest guys I know online, putting out incredible content, and you're wise beyond your years when it comes to what you are aware of, even in the fitness space and weight loss and supporting people, but definitely when it comes to keeping your finger on the pulse for social media. But what's something that you know now, currently in September, October 2022, that you wish you had known when you started off first?
This is a good question. Probably one of the main things I would say, failure isn't a bad thing. People often ask me, if you could go back in time, what would you change? What would you do differently? But I would change absolutely nothing, because if you've never failed at something, if you've never made mistakes, you're never going to grow. So maybe when I was first getting into it, I would be afraid of, oh, what if I say this? Or what if I do that? What if I launch the social circle and it fails? What's going to happen then? But oftentimes, these different failures that people are so scared of, they're not a bad thing. I've made a lot of mistakes in my time. I've made a lot of mistakes. And people are always like, oh, you're wise beyond my years. I'm maybe wise in certain topics. And then there's other areas in my life where I'm still just a normal 22-year-old. But the reason that I have been forced to wise up and sort of develop this knowledge is because the amount of mistakes that I've made, and every time I make a mistake, I learn from it. I used to... 4 years ago, I was at university. While I was at university, I had absolutely no ambition. I was drinking 3 or 4 times a week. I was an absolute party animal living in the Holy Lands. I was making no right decisions at all. But if people were all like, would you go back and start working on your social media earlier if you could have? Would you take it more seriously? I'd be like, no, because see them mistakes that I made throughout them years. I know that I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be like that when I'm older. So I made the mistakes and I learned from them. If my life was absolutely picture perfect from start to finish, I wouldn't be as involved in work. I wouldn't be taking it as seriously. I'd probably still be going out on the weekends and drinking. And I wouldn't have the businesses that I've had. So people always pray for a perfect life. They pray for that they never fail at anything. Stop being scared of failure, because every time you fail at something, it's not a failure. You're going into it the next time with more knowledge. So I was definitely someone that was always scared to try things, was scared what people thought, was scared if they went wrong. But now I'm like, if I feel it's something, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, luckily with my businesses, none of them have failed, because I do my research very well, and I'm very sure of myself that if I'm launching something, I know that it will be a success, because I know my target audience, I know that I have value. But if the social circle failed, if I didn't get anyone to sign up, I wouldn't be like, oh, fuck this, I'm giving up. I would be like, that it failed. Why did it fail? I would be like, what's the reasons behind this? I'm going to go and then I'm going to make it better. But definitely, it's just failure. As you said in your book, rewire your failure as feedback. It's one of the most important lessons that you can learn, because if you learn how to grow from your failure and make it better, it's going to have a profound impact on the quality of your life, and you're going to fail at stuff. There's stuff that's going to go wrong. You are going to make mistakes 100%. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm still only 22. Over the next 5 years, I'm going to make some mistakes, but I'm not going to beat myself up about them. I'm not going to be like, oh, I should have done it differently. Every time I make a mistake, every time I fail at something, I'm going to learn from it and use it to make me a better person.
I love that. Like, I think when it comes to mistakes, as you said there, failure is feedback. That it's not a bad thing. And if anything, you rewire it as a positive thing, it can be a massively supportive tool. And the advice I offer people, particularly with business, more so than fitness and weight loss, is just don't die. like in business, because if you make bad decisions and you go to zero and you're dead, then there's nothing you can do from that point. I think with weight loss, it's harder, but it's a life advice. Like, you know, if you're weighing up the pros and cons of doing something, but the downside is, well, there's a high probability you're going to kill yourself and die doing this. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe don't do that. That's an extreme failure. But I think with business particularly, just don't do things that either completely destroy your reputation in one go, or a financial decision that leaves you in debt that you just can't claw back out of. I think if you avoid those scenarios, and even if you're not going along at the speed at which you did, which has been tremendous over the last few months, and you can definitely shorten your learning curve for people listening by joining the SC social circle, you know, consuming your content, seeing what you're doing. I'm a big believer in mentors and seminars and courses for self-education. So hence why I wanted to talk about it on this podcast, because there's a lot of people listening who have that dream or aspiration of going from whatever it is they're doing now to having a side hustle to potentially a full-time business where they can grow social media that allows them to turn their passion into a full-time income. And I think you're providing, even on this podcast, so much value for people to go from zero to one on that. And then there's going to be more levels to it. Sean, I've loved these two conversations, two very different conversations. And I was thinking that when we were chatting, because we chat a bit on social media back and forth, and we've been connected now since I think 2020. And I was thinking, shit, where are we going to focus this conversation? Because there's so many different angles. And then we decided we'll break it up into our two parts. For everyone that's listening, Sean, we mentioned in the first episode about social media, and I'll link the same in the description for your Instagram, for TikTok, etc. But for anyone that wants more information about you, for the recipe books, for the social circle, is it through the social media channels? Again, same links, but anything else extra or anything else you want to give now, please do, and I'll link it in the description for today's episode.
Yeah, so just go to the Social Circle Facebook page and everything will be there. Social Circle Facebook page, the link in my bio, you can sign up to my mailing list. I'm going to be running, keep an eye on my socials, in the next month or two, I'm going to be running a completely free online webinar where it's like a social media masterclass. As well as that, if you've just listened to this podcast, you don't actually know me yet, I have a fully free mini Social Circle course that you can go, you can do, and you can get the grips, you can see if you like me, because the mini course is basically the way I structure the proper course, and there's a discount code for the Social Circle at the end of the free course. So then you can decide, you've listened to this podcast, you've done the free course, maybe this fella knows what he's talking about, maybe he'll sign up. But you can make that decision. You don't have to pay me straight away. Go consume the free course, keep an eye out, sign up to the mailing list, because then you get notifications for the webinar. But apart from that, Social Circle Facebook page is Facebook, Instagram, don't even have a Facebook page, definitely not Facebook. Social Circle Instagram page is where it's all happening, and you can go and look at the results there. I post results and reels every single week.
Yeah, I'm on that page as well. I saw it in the, I'm actually going to give it a proper follow, just because I try and limit my Instagram feed in terms of what comes up in it, but I get your normal page posts. But definitely now, off the back of this conversation, I'm curious to hear more about even the Social Circle, but I will link that in the description for anyone that wants to join the mailing list. Definitely go do that for the notification if the webinar is something you're interested in. And I'll also link the free course that you can kind of get your toe in the water for potentially working with Sean on the SC Social Circle. Sean, mate, keep doing what you're doing. Absolutely love seeing it from afar, and delighted that we got to catch up. I know I've been on your podcast too, which I'll also link for people. I highly recommend, and definitely when the Social Circle podcast comes out as well, I'll be looking forward to subscribing. But mate, keep up the great work, and I'll chat to you real soon.
Perfect, Brian. Thanks very much.
There you have it, Sean Casey on growing social media that allows you to turn your passion into full-time income. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. This is the one where I was making notes left, right, and center, and I'll be going back over it again to try and recapture or take down some of the things I missed the first time around. So really glad we got to break this into two parts as opposed to doing one really long episode. I know it's something that people have said that they like when the episodes are condensed into that 50 minutes so that they can schedule listening to it in one go based on your schedule. So appreciate that feedback as always. And hopefully you got loads from today's episode as well. That's everything from me from this week's podcast. Catch you all next Monday.